Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
I'm possibly a variant. Who knows?
I'm just plain old Amber.
And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. And yeah, that's right. We are once again burdened with glorious purpose because season two of Loki is here. We are here today.
Check it out. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Shirt.
Nice.
Burdened with glorious purpose. Yep.
Did you just get that shirt?
I got dagger earrings.
Nice. No, I've had this shirt for a little bit, but yeah, I thought it was appropriate to wear for today's pod because Justin,
yeah,
we're talking about the God of Mischief. Go ahead. I interrupted your intro.
No, I'm just wearing a Captain America shirt. If you can see.
Okay, that works too.
I don't have any Loki gear or merch.
I mean, Loki. Yeah. Loki did transform into Captain America in Thor too.
That's right.
So it works. Yeah. It's fine.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, season two of Loki is here. We're here today to talk about episode one titled Ouroboros, right? Ouroboros?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I say that and like read it, I'm like, is that how you say it? Because it is. I mean, OB for short. So before we get Amber and Brittany's thoughts about the episode, I want to hit you with some quick Loki season two facts. Just like season one, Loki season two will be a 6-episode season. The first episode premiered on October 5th. The finale will air on November 9th. Loki season two is the second TV series of Phase 5. Overall, it's the 10th Marvel Studios show on Disney Plus. The cast of, well, I mean, I guess it's kind of deceiving because it's, I guess, the 9th, but it's got a season two. So, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. We'll go with that.
The cast includes, of course, Tom Hiddleston, Sophia DiMartino, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, that's a tough one to say, Wunmi Mao-Saku, Eugene Cordero, Tara Strong, Neil Ellis, Jonathan Majors, Owen Wilson, Raphael Casal, Kate Dickey, Liz Carr, Ki-Wi Kwan. I should know that one. But anyway, these are tough names, okay? Yeah. So now that I've got through that part seamlessly, Amber, what are your thoughts of the first episode of Loki season two?
I really liked it. I feel like it got me back in the hype for it. And I like Ouroboros mainly because like its connection to, I guess, beginning and ends. And I think like, cause like the actual like symbolic meaning of the Ouroboros and, okay. I have some like stuffed factoids there, but I'm really excited because it kind of, for me, made me think that because Ouroboros is like the snail, but is the snake biting its own tail, right?
Okay.
The circle. It represents like beginning and ends and like how this, like the end of something is always the beginning of itself. And when you're playing with a plot that heavily involves time, I think it was kind of perfect and about time that they included it. So the fact that we have a character named Ouroboros is really cool. I really like time travel media in general. Like I love Doctor Who. So having like, what was it? Retroactive causation with Loki basically giving Obi his nickname after having just learned it.
Oh, right.
Retroactive like causation was really, really cool in time travel, and it's used a lot in time travel shows and movies. So just getting to see the fun and the play with other than just the multiverse, because the multiverse is very cool on its own, but seeing all of the different like play on time, I'm excited and I liked it.
It's good to hear. Brittany, what say you about the first episode?
Listen, to kind of piggyback on what Amber was saying about time, I'm thrilled that we have her on the show, Justin, just because she does understand the whole kind of concept about time and you know, time lords and things like that, because she has such a wealth of knowledge when it comes down to Doctor Who. So I think for us as, you know, just casual watchers of shows of such as Loki,
right,
and trying to understand like the science and the practicality of it all, it's kind of hard to pick up, but like, I think having Amber here, she's going to be able to kind of break it down and put it into layman's terms for us and be able to help us, you know, stay on track. But with the premiere, I actually felt that I kind of understood what was happening, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're in the multiverse, because we first started watching Loki having, you know, caused a branch in time, right? He's a variant. He learns about other variants and what have you. It's a lot to consume and a lot to understand. However, I felt with this season two premiere, we're picking up exactly where we left off with season one, or the end of season one. And we're seeing a lot happen. We're getting a lot of information at the same time. I will say it's better on a rewatch. Me personally, that's just how I feel. I think I picked it up a lot faster and a lot more coherently after rewatching. So to those out there who were watching Loki for the very first time or this premiere for the very first time, I suggest going back in time. No, I'm just kidding. Rewatch it. That way you have a better understanding of what's happening and what's going on, because it's I think it's definitely easier to pick up the second go around. I'm content with what we've received thus far. I love the addition of OB. I'm not going to say the actor's name because I'm just going to butcher it. Of course, I still see him as Data from the Goonies, you know, the little boy who just was inventing everything. And he's, you know, saying booby traps and, you know, booty traps and not booby traps. You know, that was hilarious to me as a child growing up. I love the addition of him. I definitely think having him in the show, he's not just going to be a small character. And with the name of Ouroboros or OB, that's a pretty big name to like live up to, just like Amber explained about the symbolism of Ouroboros, you know, a snake that is eating its own tail and it's representing beginning and end. He's got a big part to play in this season. That's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, yeah, Kiwi Kwan, he obviously famously was in Indiana Jones. He was also recently, he won an Academy Award for his role in Everything Everywhere All at Once. So coming off that, you're right. I think he has a big role in this show. And I wonder, and maybe it's too early to talk about this, but do y'all think that maybe he might be a villain? Because we do learn about his character that he wrote the TVA guidebook. He's a TVA agent who works in the repairs and advancement department. He's worked by himself. He hasn't seen a person in about 400 years. And Mobius was the last person he saw. We learned that. But of course, neither one of them remember it all that well. He remembers part of it. And then Mobius remembers other parts of it. Do we think that, obviously, you know, Kang, Jonathan Majors, will be in this show. I've read
you
that
mean- He Who Remains.
He Who Remains. Well, he'll be a variant of Kang named Victor Timely in this season of television. And we actually saw a scene from the show back in the post-credit scene for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. There was a scene they just took from one of the episodes that's upcoming. But I obviously Kang is the big bad for the multiverse saga. But I think that, just my opinion, I think that OB is going to be a villain character. Amber, what do you think about that from what you've seen so far?
I kind of loved him instantly, so I don't really, I don't want him to, but then again, right. I tend to like characters like Loki anyway, to begin with, before Loki. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I hadn't even considered that, mainly just because I really liked his energy and his whole, I loved, like all the interactions and how he spoke and how he explains things. I thought it was funny. I don't actually see if he would be a bad guy, but more of just like a, what he's do, like kind of a, not morally gray, but anti-hero, like kind of where, like he didn't mean to, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing and it's supposed to be the good thing. But if he ends up falling into that, bracket, I can see that happening, but like whether he has is like a secret mastermind, like orchestrating it all. I don't know.
Fair. Brittany, what do you think? Do you see that character becoming somewhat of a villain, or do you think that he's just a lovable character that, I mean, it's an actor that's like really popular right now, and you know, he's just playing his part very well. I just feel like he's such a big name that I feel like that he's going to have a bigger part in the show. And maybe he will, regardless of if he's a hero or a villain or whatever, or just in the middle. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a possibility. I'm not going to say it here now that he for sure will be a villain, however major or minor it could be. I think given that the recap reminded us, because it certainly reminded me, it's been 2 years, y'all, since we've watched Loki, the very first season. So there's a lot to try to remember. But with the recap, they reminded us that Loki tells everyone that works in the TVA, you were pulled from a timeline. You know, we're all variants.
Right.
You had a life. You may have had a family. You may have had, you know, all these things, but you were plucked out of time to be here in the TVA. And we learn that at the end of time is he who remains. Pretty sure he who remains, AKA Kang, obviously is the master puppeteer behind all this. Now, if he has willing minions like that of Renslayer, sorry, I was tough to say. Right. It's very possible that Obi could be playing into the big plan that is Kang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with Amber. There's a part of me that doesn't want to really believe that, just because the fact that Obi seems just like a very fun, lovable sort of character, but that's how misdirection works. So I think there's a possibility he could be somewhat minor villain in league with Kang, in league with Renslayer. Or it develops over time where he just kind of switched sides. I don't know. It's hard to call it this early. It'd be really interesting to see him portray a villain type, personally.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But he's been around for a long, long time. And the fact that he wrote the book that apparently is on every desk of the TVA, and he knows so much. So it's almost kind of hard to argue against him not being a villain,
yeah,
or turning into a villain, just because of his wealth of knowledge about time and equipment and everything, how everything works in the TVA.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I just think, obviously, I think he's a you know, obviously a big actor, and the fact that the first episode's named after his character probably leads to, you know, believe that he'll have a big role in the season. It's only six episodes, like I said before, so there's only five more to go. Anyway,
one thing I want to mention, though, with the because of the like Ouroboros and the symbol itself, it's in a lot of different cultures throughout history, and there's a lot of symbolism with it. But in Norse mythology, where, you know, where we get Loki, one of his kids is Jormungandr, the world serpent that wraps around the earth and bites its own tail, lives in the ocean. So there's that kind of connection to the Ouroboros and to Loki. I don't really know if that's any similarity at all to this, but I would still say it's like heavily involved, and I'm interested to see if that is developed at all. Because granted, this is Loki, but from the Thor series, we get that, you know, it was just ancient Midgardians not really understanding Asgardians and aliens. But I think it'd be really interesting to see if they were to weave that in somehow, but I highly doubt they would.
And quickly from the chat, we have Dead Tech Zach joining us. Appreciate you being here. Hopefully you have hit that subscribe button and like this video. Helps out our channel a whole lot. With regards to OB, you don't hide harmless folks in the basement. And we should know because we're watchers in the basement.
Yeah, I still work in a basement. We used to both work in a basement. Me and you, Brittany, worked in the basement. So
yeah, we used to do this podcast
in a basement. Yeah, so
it was cold. makes you do kind of things. No, just kidding. So it's completely valid. That's a great point that Zach made about you don't hide harmless people in basements.
He just seems really informative and really knowledgeable. And it's just, if he knows so much about the inner deep connections of and workings and mechanisms of the TVA, it's like, then why are you here? And why does no one talk to you? Like, it seems a little suspicious.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we know that the Time Lords are completely fake, right? That it was an android that, from season one, its head got cut off. And we see in the war room that decapitated head. And, you know, people feel some type of way about the lives that they're living at the TVA. They've been told one thing, that they're saving timelines and, you know, by pruning people, but they're really not. I mean, according to the Hunter, played by Wumi. And I'm really fascinated to see what's going to unfold. Are people still going to, you know, stay with the old ways of the TVA? Or are they going to do something about it? Are they going to join forces with Mobius and Loki and company? So I'm not sure. We have a Raheep.
Yep.
I apologize if I mispronounced your name. Joined us yesterday in our Ahsoka pod, back again. Where do you think the series will take MCU in the future?
Great
question.
Yeah, I can answer that. I think that the TVA is going to be featured in Deadpool 3. There's been a lot of talk about, I mean, there's been a lot of interaction. There was a lot of interaction before the actor strike with the TVA Twitter account or X account, whatever you want to call it now. And Ryan Reynolds. There's a lot of rumor that
Miss Minutes too.
That's what I mean. Miss Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I that's what I meant. Miss Minutes is a Twitter account and Deadpool. So I think that we'll see the TVA and Deadpool 3. And then ultimately this series is going to further Kang as the big bad. And of course, Avengers Kang Dynasty is coming. I don't know exactly when now. Maybe 2027, 2026. I'm not sure because of the strikes and just everything that's happened the last couple of years. But obviously the movie's called Kang Dynasty. It's going to be all about Kang. And, you know, phase 5 kicked off with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Kang was, you know, the big bad in that. And yeah, so that's where this is going to lead to, I believe. Probably maybe directly to where TVA will be featured in Deadpool 3, which Deadpool 3 is supposed to come out next May. We'll see about that. And then
we'll see.
Who knows when Avengers Kang Dynasty comes out. But that's the road we're headed down.
For sure.
Yes.
And another comment from Zach. Obi might have been able to pretty easily build giant animatronics. That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. It's I think it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue if I don't know. It's too early to tell.
He had involvement, whether it was positive or negative, who knows?
And he might have been given a reason. Hey, I need you to build this because we need to motivate people. We need them to believe in gods or something. Okay, you know, he's got that personality of like, I'm not going to ask questions. I'm just going to do as I'm told. And you know, maybe he is innocent in this whole thing. Maybe not. Again, misdirection.
I'm just excited.
Yeah,
and for sure. Also, it kind of brings into the thought, because of the Ouroboros beginning and end and things, that if whether Loki and Sylvie and everyone is actually off script from what the man at the end of he remains. Right. This is exactly what he wants to make everything happen. So it's kind of like, how far are they still on script or are they off script? And we don't really know.
Well, if you take it back to the end of season one of Loki, you know, this is basically Kang. You know, He Who Remains warned them, you know, if you kill me, then you're going to bring forth, you know, an army of variants. And when Sylvie did that, whenever she did kill He Who Remains, she basically created you know, she broke the timeline and created the multiverse. So pretty important for the multiverse saga to have the beginning of the multiverse with Loki season one. So, and you know, since then we've had the, you know, the Doctor Strange movie, Multiverse of Madness. So we've had some multiverse stuff, and it's all, you know, the MCU does a good job of threading.
It's all woven together.
Like yeah. It's all woven together. Yeah.
So. Like a loom. Wow.
Sorry. I couldn't avoid it.
She did it.
Yeah. We have a comment about
it. It's literally called a loom. Cause that's what it does. It weaves it all together. So
yeah, it's legit. It's legit. Yeah. We have another comment from Raheem. I do wish we get to see his, meaning Loki, reunion with Thor this season. I don't think that'll ever happen though.
No, I think that'll be in one of the Avengers movies, either Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars. I think we'll see.
Good point.
Will happen, not in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in the show. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they did say, you know, we do want to see the sun rise on us again and everything. Like, I feel like Loki's plot and Thor's would be incomplete if they, specifically Loki more than Thor, but I feel like Loki, it would be incomplete if they didn't.
Yeah. That hit right on the head. You're alive again?
No. At this point, I don't think he'd even be surprised. I think he'd just be like, okay, what's the plan now? Like, you just kind of roll with it after what, the fourth time?
He'll just be like, you again? Right. All right. <We're> Another.
Yeah. I mean, and also there possibly could be a Thor 5. So in the case of that, Loki might make sense to make a reunion in that movie too. So there's options out there. I don't think we've seen the last of Tom Hiddleston and Chris Hemsworth together. I think we'll see that again at some point. So
yeah, circling back to Obi real quick, sure. It just a thought that popped in my head. Just, you know, it's never ending. It's never ending. This is infinite. Yeah. This is a song that will never end, guys. Could Obi be a variant of He Who Remains?
That's a good question. I didn't think about that.
We're all variants of He Who Remains. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it just seems, I don't know. I'm reaching, but that would be a very interesting interaction of, or an interesting reveal of the person they went to get help from is also their enemy. You know what I'm saying? Like it would be kind of a great twist on everything. I don't know that I will say here and now. I'll say that as if you heard it first on the Watchers in the Basement, y'all, Obi is a variant of He Who Remains. Boom.
Yeah, and you know, Zach points out in the chat about obviously Jonathan Majors right now is still embroiled in this harassment and assault case with a former girlfriend, so we don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Obviously, you know, if he did something bad, then I think all this stuff is going to go away and he'll be replaced. But
listen, and I want to just like real quick, I just wanted to comment on that because for those who have been longtime followers of the Watchers, y'all should know how I feel about how everything played out with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and how Warner Brothers fired Johnny Depp just based on accusations. I'm not excusing Jonathan Majors' actions. If he did or did not, wasn't there, don't know. Mm-hmm. People also lie, but then, you know, people also do bad things. What I can appreciate, however, is how Marvel and Disney have not fired him just yet. I think they're waiting for his day in court. They're waiting for the final, like this, he's guilty of this. And then they'll make a decision. Cause I think with Warner Brothers, they jumped the gun and it was not well received. It was Warner Brothers.
I can explain that very simply. Warner Brothers, whether it's their superhero division or I guess anything, they don't really have a plan. Whereas Disney does have a plan. Now, in Disney's case, this could backfire on Marvel because they have a lot invested in Jonathan Majors going forward as the big bad of their multiverse saga. And yeah, if he has to be recast or replaced, I mean, I think they will do it, but that means there's a lot of stuff that has to change. And I think that Warner Brothers has always been kind of a reactionary kind of studio. And so,
yeah, exactly. Again, you're 2 for 2, my guy. 100%. This isn't an Ezra Miller situation either. Listen, that was another crazy situation, but we're not going to digress. We're going to get back to talking about Loki.
Yeah.
I just had a comment real quick about how I appreciate that the studios are not, you know, jumping the gun just yet. Now, when the time comes, they'll decide, and that's all there is to it.
Exactly.
Moving on.
So back to Loki. Let's talk about the time splitting. That's a big part of this episode and a big part of what Loki's facing. He's like, you know, literally being like torn between the past, present, and future. Amber, what'd you think about how they visually showed, you know, Loki like going back in time or kind of being ripped back in time or jumping to the future, back to the present? How did you like how that played out and maybe what that means for the story?
I thought it was really cool. Visually, I thought it was really cool. I'm a little bummed that wrapped up in just one episode. Like, I feel like that should have been, I guess, like a little stretched out, but that's what kind of like a lot happens a lot with Loki, is that like a lot of the things kind of get wrapped up in just one singular episode. So I'm not surprised about it, but I think that I kind of wish that they had like played around with that a little bit more, but because I thought it was an interesting point to bring up, because like in mythology, Loki is kind of he's a trickster god. He is the god of of tricks and initiating chaos. Literally, he causes Ragnarok, the end of the world. Like, it's just like, that's what he does. Is he
I mean, who wouldn't? Like,
but that's what he does. He changes things. He's a god of change and shifts and just tricks and changing itself. And so I don't think I think it was really, really good character wise for them to initiate all of that change from Loki being involved with the TVA to help track down his other variants and stuff. Like, I think just even from the get-go, the premise of it was really interesting, and showing that he's technically being scattered throughout time is really, really cool. But again, I'm just a little sad that I feel like it was already resolved.
Or was it?
I mean, I'd be happy with a Loki just phasing into a room every couple seconds. I'd be fine with that.
I mean, if Tom Hiddleston. Yeah, of course. Duh. Yeah. Hello. You know, just saying. No, I think it was interesting to see the whole concept of time splitting, because Loki has no idea how it's happening and like why it's happening, when it's going to happen, and where he'll end up. Obviously, when we see him in the opening of this premiere, he's running from Mobius, who doesn't know him in this time period because he's in the past,
right?
Is what we've discovered. And the big tell is because of that big orange orb thing that falls from the ceiling and, you know, breaks the floor that is of the TVA sort of symbol. And then Loki time splits to that same room and encounters the same person, which was Casey, who didn't know him in the past, but knows him in the present, obviously. And Loki notices that same broken floor. He's like, wait, how long has that been there? And Casey's like, it's been there as long as I remember. And for Casey not to elaborate and say, well, you were there when it happened, that's pretty much telling you as the audience, or at least I interpret it, these people have no recollection, of course, of how long they've been there, what they're doing there, and it's curious as to how often their minds are being wiped. Also, want to note, are they using like the Men in Black little pin thing that, you know, they click?
That's what I imagine. Memory? That's what I picture.
Right? Right? That'd be cool. But it's interesting. And I'm glad the way that they did it, with Loki, he identifies and says, I've gone to the past. Then you cut back, he's in the present, and you obviously know that because Mobius knows him. Everyone else knows who right. Loki is. And then when Loki time splits to the future, you know that because in that loom room, Mobius had written the word skin on the side of like the blue computer thing, you know, because it's all dusty, and he puts skin, and then Loki goes and sees that, then he says, I'm in the future. So I appreciate how they're trying to keep the audience up to date with what's happening as it's happening.
And also kind of funny with the dust thing is most dust is made out of human skin. So I think that's kind of funny.
That is a great point. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But Mobius didn't want to lose his skin. So I can understand why it was on his mind. Like, skin.
No, I just think I don't think he did it intentionally, but part of me was just kind of like, just a little chuckle, and then it carried on. But no, I like what you mean what they're saying, because yeah, they are doing things that are plot logically relevant without being like, we are in the future now,
right?
Without being like too overly like overt about it,
like a lower third, the future, the past. Yeah.
Like they did that with Sylvie. Like they did that with Sylvie at the post credit thing, but like saying where she was and that she's in a branch timeline. Mm. But that makes sense for her for the scene. But I think they, like you were saying, I think they did really well cluing us into what's going on and when it's going on, without being in your face about it and not confusing.
Yeah, I thought it was
time
really...
travel is hard to be not confusing.
No, go ahead, finish up.
No, I was just saying that was it. Time travel is hard not to be confusing.
Yeah, no, I did like how when he is slipping time or doing the time slipping thing, you know, when he's talking to the same character and it's like, we just spoke, and then it's like, oh, that's, I would remember that. And it's like, no, that was, you know, that's your future, my past, you know, like that whole thing. Like, I thought that was a very creative way. That part, you know, you do have to kind of have your thinking cap on. You're like, okay, now let's do the math here. But I thought that was pretty.
And that's why I say it's much better on the rewatch, because subconsciously you've already heard it. You might not have followed it, but you've heard it. And then when you on the rewatch, it's like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense now, because it does. But it's interesting that Loki, by being in the past, is unlocking the present day memories of Mobius and Obi and things like that. So it's almost really interesting that Loki has to time slip in order to get these people and their memories awake, if you will. So yeah, it's really interesting. We've got another comment here in the chat. I was just wondering, if Sylvie killed He Who Remains, then who is running the TVA? Because that variant died. Do you know something about that?
Miss Minutes?
I was going to say, Miss Minutes has a lot to do with the running of the TVA. And she was there with He Who Remains.
She's sketchy. Or
Renslayer, maybe?
It could be Renslayer, because you're right. We did hear an audio recording from Loki, when Loki was in the war room, but in the past, that He Who Remains said Renslayer's name and said, you are a Marvel and I will be proud to lead with you. So that's why I'm saying, like, with people in the TVA, a lot of them may be aware of what's going on because they're in league with He Who Remains. And I think Obi could potentially be one of those people that are very much aware of what's happening, but they're playing dumb. Or again, he's just innocent and in the crossfire of things. But I don't know if there's a definite who is running the TVA, because Sylvie believed that He Who Remains is like the devil. And he warned them, like, listen, you kill me, you unleash an infinite amount of meats, and that's gonna be hard to track down and deal with. Oh my God, Amber, I'm making a connection to Supernatural now. Jesus. digressing and we're not going down that rabbit hole. Anyway, but he did say, he goes, you either take my place and run the TVA or you kill me and you're going to unleash, you know, an army of me, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's part of the big mystery of the season, I think, is who is running the TVA or who, you know, and
yeah,
when we get to see Kang or Victor Timely, which I think probably the next episode, I would guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I kind of really agree with Zach because, like, yeah, it's like a rudderless ship. And it seems like the factions are splintering in two. I think it's very, very clearly like seeing I don't remember their names, but like in that triangle room.
General Dox, played by Katie Dickey. She is also in Game of Thrones. She was Lady Arryn.
Yep.
She is the Scottish General Dox.
Very Scottish.
Very Scottish. That is her natural accent. My goodness, yeah. That was thick Scottish accent. Yeah. And the other judge in the room.
Judge Gamble.
Judge Gamble is played by Liz Carr. Who's
Liz Carr's in The Witcher and Good Omens.
She's in Good Omens. Okay.
She's in Good Omens.
Season two. One day.
Season two of Good Omens. Yeah, it's on your list now. Yes, I bullied you into it. But in there, you know, like she made the decision that she to stop pruning, but it seems like they're still going to be keep on doing that. So it's kind of
I think it's just for one. General Dox and company are on a mission to find Sylvie. You know.
I don't think that's going to stop them. Like, I think they're going to. Yeah, I think I see it being a catalyst for a civil war in the TVA.
100%. I do. 100%. Yeah, Justin, what say you?
No, that's very interesting because I think, you know, with the last season, think about how Loki was brought to the TVA and he said he wanted to burn it down. Right. And I think now he's trying to keep the TVA together because the TVA is now part of his like found family, Mobius. And what's the hunters, what's her number? It's like Hunter
B15.
And like, you know, like those, that's his new family. So, and obviously Sylvie, of course. So I think
that's just weird with Sylvie though. I mean, she's a variant of him and he like made out with her. He's just in love with himself, but it's just so strange. It's so weird.
Like, he's literally in love with himself. Self-sess. It's fine. Just ignore it.
Well, it'll be a big part of the season. I guess so.
If you can get some free McDonald's out of it, like, listen.
Do we want to jump to Sylvie now? Y'all want to talk about Sylvie?
I mean, we've already been kind of hitting on Sylvie, so let's go ahead and discuss her. She didn't have a big role in this episode.
No, she briefly appeared at the end of the episode. She was Loki could see her getting in, or she was in an elevator, and then he couldn't quite get to her before he was brought back by Movi. He was pruning himself? Is that what was happening?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. Yeah. On the rewatch, I had to pay close attention to this scene because according to OB, there's a series of steps, you know, Mobius had to complete and Loki had to complete in order to be able to pull Loki from the timeline and stop time slipping, right? While Loki is in the future, right, he realizes he doesn't have that pruning stick. So he's running off to go find one because he has to prune himself at the right moment in order to get back to the timeline that Mobius and Obi are in. So it doesn't appear he finds a pruning stick because he gets distracted by the phone ringing, the elevator door opening. It's Sylvie. She's like, there you are. So that makes you wonder, okay, what were they doing? Like, why are they at the TVA and what are they doing? Are they burning it to the ground? But it looked like Loki got pruned from the back. Because all you saw when you see his chest kind of splitting or dissolving, you saw the little ring of the pruning stick. But you didn't see who it was. So, no, he didn't prune himself. Someone must have been after him or them and you know, obviously caught him off guard and pruned him. But that was also just very timely because, again, he needed to prune himself to get back to the original timeline.
Zach, you beat me to it. That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm so mad.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Future Loki pruned Loki.
That's what I think, because he was brilliant. Struggling to find a stick. So I think whatever Loki is, that current future, we'll call him future Loki, whoever was the Loki present at that time knew, hey, past me needs to be pruned at this exact moment. I can't find a pruning stick thing. I'm going to go find myself and I'm going to fix that. So Zach, you beat me to it.
Damn, that is same. That time, is genius. Yes. Wave. Yeah, well, definitely.
I've genius. Got a question that maybe Zach can answer. Hopefully one of us can answer it though. During the part where we see, you know, Loki sees Sylvie in the elevator, there's a phone ringing. Who is making the phone call? I don't know the answer to that. I don't even really have a guess.
Could be future Loki again. Yeah. Being like, I need to distract myself.
I mean, could it be Kang or He Who Remains? Could it be him trying to locate them, or is it Obi? Is it Mobius? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, Loki, like, you had a very short amount of time. Why after that sorry? little clock thing went green, because if you didn't prune yourself within that time limit, like, you were going to be lost to time. Why are you walking so slow?
Yeah.
That really bothered me.
Didn't it almost seem like he was like in a dream or like in a haze or something? It looked different.
Deja vu.
Okay. Or maybe
he accepted defeat. Like, okay, I don't have the stick. Like, this is what it's going to be.
But I agree with Zach. You little genius. You're in my brain. I think it's like, just like I said, Loki needs to mobilize himself. He knows he's a fast guy, and he knows that it would just mess everything up if he sees himself. And also, that's kind of a big thing with time travel, and you're not supposed to see yourself, because it just messes a whole bunch of things. But it's a way to distract himself and stop himself. I don't know why necessarily, like you were saying, Brittany, that I don't really know why he was so distracted by the phone ringing enough to just stop, and because it doesn't seem like Loki to give up. Because if Loki's one thing, it's he's relentless.
Yeah,
and so that's it seems kind of weird. Sure. I don't really see him just being like, I don't have the stick. I can't do it. I don't see him doing that. But
I don't know.
I think it was orchestrated too. So he could prove himself. I think it was orchestrated.
Great possibility. It's hard to know for sure. And I'm going to go back into the chat here. Raheem had another question. After Sylvie killed He Who Remains, the timeline reset itself, right? So what happened to all the Infinity Stones, which were in Loki season one? I mean...
You mean the ones that were in the drawer?
They're in the drawer. They're like on the desk. They have like no meaning whatsoever. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just insignificant.
I think that's a really good question, but I think that's one of those things. It's like, hey, we solved the Infinity... Like, literally the Infinity Saga already happened and we took care of that. And we're not going to retread on those waters. But no, it's a good question. But it's,
yeah, it is.
I mean, at a certain point, it's like you kind of have to move on
in my brain
step,
so. But I'm gonna try. Okay. Let me try. Don't know if it makes sense, but I'm gonna try. So okay, we're gonna pretend timeline, sacred timeline.
Yeah,
Infinity Stones and Infinity War. Okay, well, sorry, my thing's backwards. It's good this way. So Infinity War was here. Back here is where it happened. Back here is where it ended. It's back here. This is kind of where everything is starting to branch off and go crazy or whatever. And if they reset it, what if it reset it here instead of at the beginning of time?
No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
This is why I'm so glad you joined this pod to talk about Loki, because you have a better understanding about how time and events in time, branches, et cetera, work. So that made
I don't think I'm right,
sense.
But
no, but
like, if it reset, I think it would reset to within that loop.
Time loop.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to. So that's why it might just be a cop-out way, but I think that's how they would orchestrate it to not worry about the Infinity Stones.
Huh. Zach coming in with this zinger. I thought time travel was all just spaghetti.
That is
it's confetti. But that's a reference to it. Scary show.
So spaghetti. That's a Flash reference. Have you seen the movie The Flash?
Yeah.
No, I know. I understand that. I was just referencing another. I was referencing a horror show.
Yeah, but in The Flash, spoiler alert: Michael Keaton's Batman is back, and he explains the multiverse the best way I think that we've ever heard on any kind of superhero or anything. Honestly, analogies. Yeah. Have you seen the movie, Amber? Okay, I didn't know you saw The Flash. Okay, cool.
I did, but did you like I saw it like incredibly late. Yeah, I liked it. Okay. But I just tend to lean more towards Marvel over DC in general.
Yeah.
it's because of Loki. It's entirely that fault. And I've always liked mythology and stuff like that. So Loki and Thor, even before like leading up to the Avengers, loved it. So yeah, but I really liked it. So yeah, but I saw it way late, so I wasn't really involved with any of the coverage that you guys did with it. But
spaghetti is referenced in this episode too, with what would happen to, was it Mobius or Loki?
Loki.
But it's also on the floor. Mm-hmm. It's like big red text that's on the floor leading to the loom room, as I'm going to call it, a time loom.
Temporal loom.
Yeah.
Temporal loom. Excuse me. Thank you very much. there's like I don't remember what it says on the floor, but something about it. There was a 7,000% chance that you would be spaghettified or spaghettification. It was a really huge possibility.
Which we saw that happened to Ant-Man in Quantumania.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right.
And it happened to Mr. Fantastic. I mean, obviously for different reasons in Multiverse of Madness, but,
God, yeah.
So
good old Jim.
Spaghetti's just perfect to explain time.
I'm telling you, the Michael Keaton explanation is the best one. Like
it is. It was really so good. Like it made perfect sense to me. And I like I said, I like time travel scenarios and time multiverses.
Not to mention spaghetti's just good.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was a freak. I saw The Flash 5 times in the theaters, including I saw it twice one day, and I had spaghetti that night.
Of course you did. You nerd.
I couldn't.
The only way to end that night.
had to be.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mentioned the temporal loom room.
Yeah.
Anyone else aside from me see X-Men doors open up like you're walking into Cerebro?
I did not see that until you pointed it out. Amber, did you notice that?
No.
Oh my God. That was so apparent.
But it's been a long time since I saw anything to do with X-Men. So
you're excused. Justin, not so much.
But see, like I am not an X-Men. Not that I dislike the X-Men.
How?
But the X-Men is kind of like my blind spot in superheroes and Marvel. Because I'm like, most people love the X-Men. And I like Deadpool and I like Wolverine a lot. But like the team together has never been my thing. So, I'm sure once we get the MCU version of the X-Men, I'm going to love it. But I'm just not a huge X-Men fan.
It's rude as hell.
I'm just being honest. I don't dislike it. I just don't love it.
I'm really curious as to why the showrunners and the production crew decided to go with that. I don't know if that's going to have any significance whatsoever into any future shows or movies. You know, obviously because Deadpool is going to have Wolverine in it. That's not a secret. I'm very curious if that's kind of like your little Easter egg that goes into what we'll see with Deadpool, right? I don't know, because especially if the TVA is going to have some sort of part to play in Deadpool. I don't know. I just, when I first saw that, I said, because I was watching the show with John, my husband, and I'm like, oh my God, are they actually doing like an X-Men? And then the door opened and you still see middle circle, and then like that. I was just like, oh my god, this is Yes, well, I grew up watching the X-Men's 90s cartoon. What's up?
I watched it too. I like the song a lot. No, I did watch it. I just wasn't like it wasn't my favorite thing. I like Batman the animated series and Superman the animated series more. I preferred
on if I was born yet.
I don't think that's right.
I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't.
Yeah, you were. I don't think you were.
Yeah. I don't think you were. Wow. Right.
I mean, now they are doing a sequel series to the X-Men animated series. It's X-Men 97. I think it's coming out next year, next X-Men 97. So that'll be interesting. We'll probably be talking about it here on the Watchers. Looking forward to that. And maybe Amber can get caught up on the stuff that came out before she was born, and we can talk about that.
Hey, I still have a lot of Doctor Who to get through.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to be concise, but I want to absorb as much Doctor Who before the 60th special. Because it's next month is in November is the 60th anniversary, but the 60th special is going to be like a holiday thing. So that's 60 years worth of show.
That's a lot.
There's also, it's not even just the show, because I actually am interested in reading some of the books, the spinoff books, and there are a couple of spinoff TV series as well. My time is taken up by a different time travel thing.
Yeah.
So
we got you.
This is very true.
So
also Dean Winchester.
Yes. Me and Brittany are, she is a little bit more than halfway through season 3 of Supernatural.
Yeah. We're getting she's told me about it. Yeah. She's ahead of where I stopped. I stopped after season 2. So,
oh god, Zach, look at you. Just wait until we get to 60 years of the MCU.
Yeah, we're only at year, what are we, year 11? We're year 13, I guess, right?
We're year 13. Yeah.
No, wait, year 15. 20, 21, 20, yeah, 20, 2008.
14.
Yeah, almost 15. Oh, 15, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out math. So check out this transition. So from Doctor Who to Dr. Pepper? Because when I go to McDonald's, I always want to get me a Dr. Pepper. And speaking of McDonald's, let's talk about Sylvie. As we said, we saw her in the elevator briefly. But now let's fast forward to the mid-credit scene where Sylvie is, she's entered a branch timeline, which Amber mentioned before. It literally says on the screen, branch timeline. She's in Bronxton, Oklahoma in 1982. That's actually 2 years after I was born, just so people can know the age difference of the people on the show.
That was 7 years before I was born.
Okay. Well, I was 2 years old. I was probably at that McDonald's.
Oklahoma? I believe it.
Probably not. but probably at a McDonald's somewhere. Anyway, so she visits a McDonald's restaurant.
Did you get the new nuggies? Did you get the cheeky nuggies?
I don't remember eating the nugs as a kid. I don't know. Okay. Like I definitely, as a little kid. But
listen, I would want 1982 McDonald's prices now. Okay. Oh, yeah. Like, can we do that? Can we make that happen in this timeline, please? Your girl needs cheaper food.
So I like how, Sylvie's at this McDonald's and she walks up to the counter and she's like, how do I do this? She's trying to order food. And he's like, well, what would you like? And she's like, no possum, no squirrel, no rat. I don't want it to have a face. I'd like for it to be dead. And then
didn't she like raise herself in apocalyptic worlds?
Right.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I would be. and like Zach said, Broxton is actually a Marvel reference to other Marvel media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It had something to do with Ragnarok and like people in Asgard like relocated to Broxton.
They hovered over it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But she grew up in a like apocalyptic timelines. I would be like very, very particular about what I ate too, because probably the only things in the timelines that she kept hopping between was dog, possum, or things with a face.
Yeah.
So if she's going to go up to a counter not knowing where or when she is, I don't think it's unreasonable for her to say that.
No, I thought it was, it was kind of a comedic moment. And then I like how, the you know, he says, oh, you should try. We have a quarter pound cheese and a Big Mac. We have our new chicken McNuggets and all this stuff. And then she's like,
filet
looking around
fish.
The right filet of fish. She's looking around the restaurant. She sees people that are, you know, couples and kids and stuff. And she says, I want to try everything. And of course she doesn't just mean the food. She means life. I thought that was a very like nice kind of sweet moment to end the episode. Brittany, what did you think about that? The way Sylvie, her little mid-credit scene here.
When she said, I want to try everything, I'm like, okay, Hannibal Lecter. Like, my God. Like, I know you're at McDonald's, but I'm going to need you to chill. No, I'm just kidding.
Did Hannibal Lecter like fast food? I don't understand the reference.
Like he likes different people.
Well, she didn't mean like eating people. She was like, it's like cannibal Sylvie. She's still like the same Sylvie.
You don't know. You don't know. Do you know her personally? Do you know?
Brittany, do you think Disney Plus is going to have a cannibal on their show? On their
if
Marvel
they make
show?
It family friendly, they probably would. Okay.
And let's be honest.
Families die together all the time. Anywhere. Look at Bambi and Bambi's mother.
I don't think people is family friendly, but go ahead. Amber,
look at all. Let's be honest. All Loki variants are a little bit feral. Like it's just
a little bit.
It's not surprising.
A little bit. Anyway, in all seriousness, with her scene, for one, because Sophia
DiMartino.
Sophia.
Yeah, Sophia.
Sophia DiMartino is the second top billed actor in the show. And it's like, well, we didn't see her at all. And it totally made sense to see her in a mid-credit because the last thing we did see her was Kill He Who Remains and kick Loki through a time door and that was pretty much it, right? So to see where she wound up in a branched timeline in Oklahoma of all places, no disrespect to anyone listening or watching that are from Oklahoma, but it just seems so random, but obviously it has a Marvel reference. I get it. Cool. Fine. McDonald's, great cross promotion. Of course, you know, you're talking about one of the biggest fast food chains in the world. And all I thought to myself was she wants to try everything on the menu. How are you going to pay for it, my girl? Like, and spoilers, probably.
She wasn't gonna pay for it. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, there's of course clips of her in the trailer, other, you know, social media promotions for McDonald's that Sylvie's behind the counter. So she's like working.
Yeah.
At McDonald's, right? So either because she couldn't pay, and it's that whole, you know, you can't pay, you wash dishes, or she's like, hey, I need a job so I can keep eating and trying everything. But
you know what I think it is? I think she is, because she's never maybe experienced a McDonald's, I think she's going to think it's the most magical place on earth and she wants to stay there. And I'm like, kind of kidding, but kind of not. So because McDonald's in the 80s was pretty magical, honestly.
I mean,
Amber, please tell me your thoughts of McDonald's in the 80s.
Yes, tell us about your variance experience in the 80s.
Hey, I like time travel shows. I'm not a time traveler.
Again, misdirection.
Amber born yesterday. Thankfully, she's able to talk and be on the podcast. So,
yes. Just born 12 minutes ago. Yeah. However, like I was born 10 minutes before we started the pod.
Okay.
Oh man.
That's amazing.
That employee meal. Listen,
we are bearing the lead. We should just talk about you instead of the TV show. Cause that would be,
I
incredible.
Know. Right. Look at that.
Hey, there's a reason I'm wearing green. I'm a variant.
You just blend.
What
in.
Did I say? What did I say?
Yeah. Hey, Brittany, we had a question that we missed from.
Yeah, we did.
Raheem.
So according to you, if Loki gets the opportunity to rule one of the following things, which one will he rule? Asgard or TVA?
Amber, go for it.
It's a choice. Great question.
Depends on which Loki you're asking.
Loki in the show that we have.
Loki Prime. That's my new name, Loki Prime. I'm going to go TVA. Because this Loki hasn't experienced the same as like Ragnarok Loki. Mm-hmm. because he was taken out before, like, when he was captured by the Avengers, like, that's when he branched, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say he did find out what had happened. Like, he found out that Frigga died. He found out that
Happened to him.
Yeah, he found out what happened to him, and so, like, that was just after, like, Asgard was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, Loki Prime, I think he's very much just, like, seeing that, getting disillusioned with Asgard, because the whole point and reason why he wanted to be king of Asgard was because, like, what Zach is saying, you know, both, like, he was raised his entire life told that him and Thor were both supposed to be kings. And then it all went to Thor. And regardless of if that panned out or not, obviously it didn't, but I got a little bit disenchanted with Asgard. Because, like, I think he's more valuing the fact the TVA has so much control and power and ability spanning more than just a golden city in the clouds.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything Amber has said. I really feel like, I think even regardless if Loki didn't know about the outcome of Asgard or who is running it at this point, here on Earth, I feel because he's been more involved with the TVA as of late, that either he can correct the things that have been done, right? He could help Mobius or help Sylvia. I don't know who would necessarily be in charge of the whole organization, but I feel like he would have a better chance at quote unquote ruling or heading up TVA as opposed to Asgard. Asgard is, as we know, Asgard is a people. It doesn't matter where you are, you know, they're a community, but they have their king. They have Valkyrie. So I don't think necessarily Loki would want to challenge Valkyrie, because Valkyrie is definitely a force to be reckoned with. But I think at this point, Loki understands that his time, like, his actual timeline is over.
Yeah.
And he is better off staying with the TVA.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think it's definitely TVA. And I think kind of like along the lines of what you're saying, Brittany, I don't think he wants to rule, because this is a changed Loki. He saw what happened in, you know, he saw what happened in season one, what happened to the other version of Loki, the one that died in Endgame, or the one that died in Infinity War. And I think that changed him, obviously. So great question, though. Very good question.
Yeah. And follow up from Ricky, that is exactly what I was thinking. Then I saw season one last episode. And if he wanted to rule TVA, he should have taken it when He Who Remains was offering it. And I'm glad you brought that up, Ricky, because there is a scene when Loki is in the war room. He's just revealed to everyone in the war room present day, Prime Loki's timeline, right? That it's Kang, or He Who Remains, who's behind all this, right? This is being orchestrated by him. He walks out with Mobius and he's telling Mobius about what happened at the end of time when they met He Who Remains. And he's saying Loki just needed a moment to think. He just needed that moment to think before he acted on either the offer from He Who Remains or to do something else. But Sylvie acted so quickly, he couldn't stop her. And that's like, he's harboring on that. So yeah. I don't know what he would have done at that moment, because I think he was conflicted with whatever he felt towards Sylvie and what she wanted to do. And then what He Who Remains was offering. That's why I'm reiterating what he was saying about he just needed a moment to think. Yeah. And he didn't get that opportunity, and everything that transpired. So Zach says, I mean, it could be a Willy Wonka situation. By default, he got the job. You lose. Good day, sir.
I just think it was interesting to show that, because he was kind of panicking. when he was talking to Mobius, like about how he just needed a moment to think. He was almost like hyperventilating. He was freaked out just because
he felt guilty.
Yeah, he felt guilty because he wanted a moment to think because of the consequences. Because if Loki Prime is anything, he has a high survival instinct. He is cunning. He is a planner. That's kind of what he does. And he always tries to look for his best way of survival. And he was kind of he wanted to take at that moment in that time, take stock and see what is the best way that I can get what I want out of this situation. He didn't have time to do that. And now it's literally out of his hands because Sylvie acted before he could. And he is panicked and mm-hmm. Very Slytherin of him behavior, but that's I just think it was really interesting. But yeah, like Zad said, he's going to have to get some kind of control eventually, and being the catalyst for it, for all of this change in the TVA, because I think it's just going to lead to him having some kind of foothold in the. Mm-hmm. End of it.
Tom Hiddleston's so good, you know, like just the acting, like
he also looks good.
Well, yeah, that's
boy does he.
So yesterday Brittany and I on our previous episode, we talked about Ahsoka, and when you talk about the acting level of the Ahsoka show compared to Loki, it's literally night and day.
It's apples and oranges.
I mean off the charts different. Yeah. This show makes you feel stuff even when like there's action, but there's not a ton of action, but it's so good. You feel like, man, like we're in good hands with this show, better than mm-hmm. like, say like Secret Invasion, the previous Marvel show, and obviously yeah. other Disney Plus shows. Like this yeah. really feels like a high quality show. It looks really good to me. And now a lot of that's because I think they're kind of in practical kind of places for the most part. And that's also better for, mm-hmm. for watching.
I like the script writing. Like the conversations between Mobius, Loki, and OB, I was chuckling. It was funny. It was silly because like they were hyper focusing. Like, I don't want to have my skin peeled off. Like, it was just it was funny. Still, like, we have a job to do. We have to get it fixed now. Like, still amongst the panic, I think it was well paced too.
And the exchange between Mobius and Loki, when Loki was explaining what was happening and what's to come, he pointed to a painting on the wall that's yeah. a warlike scene. And he said, that's what's happening. That's what's coming. He and his variants are coming. Mm-hmm. And when Mobius says, he first didn't believe that Loki was time slipping because that doesn't happen in the TVA. And then lo and behold, Loki time slips. Yeah. It's funny because you see just the animation of how he's slipping, and it looks quite jarring, quite painful, right? Well, then I saw on Twitter, like the behind the scenes of how he time slips. And it's just so funny to see Tom Hiddleston do like all the big gestures and he does every time he gets out of the time slip, he does like the really drastic, like flip of the hair, like, you know, it's so funny to me. But yeah, I mean, he has to do these big gestures in order for the animation bits to be put together for the time slip. And Mobius has like this look of horror on his face. And he's like, well, how does it feel? And Loki's, you know, cracking his neck. He's like, you know, it's not too bad. And he goes, well, how does it look? It's like, let's get you to RNA. You know, we need to get you checked out. And then again, Loki time slips in the elevator and Moby's just like, yeah, Moby's just like, okay, I can't look at this. It's just horrible. He's like, you said it wasn't that bad. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you lied to me. And then Mobius, yeah, girl in the corner of the elevator. What did you think? And she's just like,
yeah.
Yeah. The humor is very, very well placed.
I like how Mobius is like, you know, looks like you're being born or dying at the same time or whatever. And, you know, that was a funny line. I also thought it was a very funny line when, you know, Loki and Mobius is talking to Loki about how, like, Loki tells him, he's like, you know, your memory was wiped. And then Mobius says, I have no memory of my memory being wiped. That was a funny line. I thought the line with Obi and Loki later in the episode, when he's like, you have 1 hour to do this. And then something hits the glass wall and he's like, you have 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny.
But the delivery of like the very matter of fact, yeah. It wasn't deadpan. It was just like, oh shit. Never mind. Kind of situation. And Raheem, my thoughts exactly. After so much suspense, if we don't get to see Mobius riding a jet ski, I will be so mad. It was brought up again at the beginning of this episode. Yeah. You know, X5, who's also a hunter, asked Mobius if jet skis are on the timeline. If they call to him, he's like, you know, I don't know about calling. It's more like a quiet, how did he say it?
Whisper.
Like a whisper, you yeah. know. I was hoping he would finally do a wow, you know, kind of thing, like the very iconic.
I knew you were Owen about to do Wilson. That. Yeah.
Wow, she does it really well.
That's good too.
That's really good.
Wow, man.
Wow. Yeah, we need to have the signature Owen Wilson wow at some point in the show. It has to happen. Like, put it in his contract, y'all.
Did he do it in season one? I feel like. He
got very close, but okay. It was not wow. I think it was ow. Like okay. like he got hurt or something, and he's just yeah. ow.
Like we get the reference, but it wasn't yeah. close.
It
enough.
Wasn't and quite the same.
I hope that if he doesn't get it in this season, if that man does not get on a jet ski this season, by the end of the show in general, whether there are more seasons or not. There has to be at least like a 5 minute montage of this man just riding off of a jet ski into the sunset. That's how we have to have like our last image of Mobius. It has to be.
I hope there's a way that Loki and Mobius can time slip into the past or into Mobius' timeline. And we'll see him in his timeline jet skiing.
Yeah.
Like I'll be okay with that. If Prime Mobius isn't able to do it in his lifetime, I want to see it from the past or something like.
Wait,
and also,
Zach says we see set pictures.
Oh well, then there you go. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Come on, Zach.
Get with the program.
Show me no. the pictures.
But you know what? This raises a new question because when we see, or rather, when we meet Obi for the first time. He says to Mobius, he's like, wow, how long has it been? And Mobius like, I don't know, 3, 4. He goes, 400 years? So at what point were these people plucked from the timeline? How old is Mobius? Like, what era did he come from? You know, if it's been 400 years, I mean, granted, time moves differently in the TVA or whatever, but like, does that equate to a year or... 5 years or you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
if Mobius, because I'm judging by like haircut, hair, you know, facial hair, you know, suit, whatever. I'm trying to depict if that's just like the uniform for TVA, which is very retro, very like 60s mm-hmm. kind of vibe, or is that just who he is because of the era that he came from? You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Did he come from 1982 Broxton, Oklahoma, McDonald's, you know, like
do I need another timeline example? Because I can't.
Oh. Go for it. Do it. Yeah.
Go for it. Do it. Okay. Do it.
It doesn't really matter because like what happens is like TVA timeline and like normal and like whatever timeline Mobius is from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say like he's from here, the 60s.
Okay.
60s in whatever timeline he's in.
Yeah.
He could have been, when he got plucked into the TVA because of how time works differently, he could have been plucked and brought back up to the beginning of
the TVA.
The TVA.
Ah.
So, you know, we don't know where in the TVA's timeline he was
gotcha.
Plucked into.
Gotcha.
We don't
gotcha.
Know. That's,
I like
trying.
The visuals.
I'm getting there. Thank you.
I like the visuals. I am a visual learner. This is why I'm a graphic artist. Okay. Like graphics and visual, that's how I learn things. Yay for all of us.
I don't have my pencil, but I have
it's okay.
I have paper.
Okay.
I can do diagrams.
I was like, is she gonna go John Wick with the pencil? Like I got a little concerned for
no,
a second.
No, I just I swear I brought my pencil down here. I don't know where it went.
It's all good. It's all good.
I could scamper and come back, but
that's okay. Your arms sufficing as the timelines makes a lot of sense. I'm good with it.
No, it really does help because I don't think I understand it as well. Now I do understand it much better.
Yeah, like because it doesn't. He could be like whatever point in his timeline he was taken from and plucked from, he could be just dropped in whatever timeline of the TVA needed.
Yeah.
So he could have been there at the beginning. He could have like we honestly don't know. Like how long have these people been working together? Right. How long have the TVA been involved with each other? Because these people have known each other for a long time. We know that, but we don't know how long. So for all. And how they talk about time and how they interact with each other. They could have been interacting for thousands of years. Because what if they were all plucked at the same time from different timelines and different branches? We don't know.
What? Wait a second. Y'all.
Go for it.
What if when Thanos snapped his fingers, all those people that disappeared came to the TVA?
They're all snapped people.
Did I just figure it out? I'm just kidding.
Hey, it might be possible.
I mean, like, did they just like, where did they go? They went to the TVA. I solved it. I'm a freaking genius.
There you go.
Give me my money.
I don't know that anybody has that theory. So, Brittany, you have your original theory.
You heard it here first on the Watchers.
But Mobius. Didn't they talk about in the first season? Not didn't Mobius. They talk about the snap too? I think they mentioned it.
Yeah.
They're all lies. I don't know. It's just, I don't know anymore.
I don't know. Zach fact checked me. Didn't they mention it?
Right.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, is there anything else that we didn't touch on that y'all want to mention before we get out of here?
I think we pretty much hit everything that was pretty major in this episode. Obviously, Mobius was successful in bringing Loki back into their timeline. And the first thing that Loki says is we need to find Sylvie because that's just, you know, who he's kind of, you know, obsessed with. And it obviously looks right. Yeah. Well, he saw her in the future. So, I mean, is it the same prime Sylvie or is it a variant of Sylvie? Right. It's hard to say at this point. We know that General Dox seems to be marching to her own beat and has assembled multiple hunters to go through a time door. Where they're going, don't know, but it all appears, quote, to be for Sylvie, but that other hunter is, I can't think of his name, but he's not buying it, right? So it ends on that note with the camera being on Hunter B-15. So who knows what is in store for those people. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So we have one more question here in the chat from Raheem. Do you think that there is chance about a crossover between Star Wars and Marvel? Because we saw timelines and time branches in Loki and we saw a world between worlds. Could something happen? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. Those are two huge franchises that I don't think they'll cross over. Now, when you talk about like Deadpool and the TVA, I mean, they're all part of the same umbrella. They're all part of Marvel, right?
Yeah, they all had like the same core media.
Right. It just so happened that prior to Disney acquiring Deadpool, that Deadpool was of a different production company and whatnot, much similar to that, like X-Men from 2000 and Spider-Man. Well, Sony still owns the rights to Spider-Man, but he's on loan to us.
But, you know, like in Captain America Civil War, which is Spider-Man's entry to the MCU, he makes the comment about Empire Strikes Back.
That's
true.
That
really old movie. So even in the MCU world, Star Wars is a formative entertainment, much like it is in our world.
Yeah.
Now, as far as how entertaining it is to me, that's very... There's varying degrees of that.
The world depends on Justin and his interest this crossover. Saying,
like, if you watched our Ahsoka review, you know that I'm not a big Star Wars guy right now. But, you know, when I was a kid, I loved the movies. So,
Zach sent me the photo of the jet ski, which I don't know if we're going to be, you guys can see it, but ta-da.
Okay, we kind of make it out,
Kind of see it, yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it, but also misdirection.
We know
that to be a thing, especially when it came down to Game of Thrones and other big popular shows.
Well,
so
it does look like Owen Wilson, and it does.
No. I'm saying they'll do that, but they'll get the actors to like pose as if, oh, this is like a big spoiler behind the scenes kind of thing, and then it actually never happens. Like, I don't know.
Or what if we don't even get to see it? What if it's just like a photo of him on a jet ski from like from his core timeline?
I think we will see it. Not just because we saw the set photo.
Amber's
now, but
sad.
Like,
yeah, I just want this man on a jet ski. He deserves it.
Zach says, I'm good with Wolverine fighting an alien or predator, not a Sith.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Infinity War trailer with Hulk. Yeah, and then, see, there you go. Prime example. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah. Overall, you know, for the premiere of Loki season two, I don't think it's terrible. I think it's definitely better on a rewatch. So once again, everyone out there who has watched it at least once, do yourself a favor, maybe watch it again before episode two comes out. And it might take an episode or two to actually like really kick off the season. But I don't think we're going to be disappointed with what we get from the show.
Yeah, I really liked it because, like I kind of said in the beginning, I think it did really well kicking off the like coming up with the same energy without seeming too rushed. It was really good with pacing. I liked the again, as someone who likes like time travel media, it's not easily understandable for a lot of people without those captions. And so it's like the fact that we have such a nice cohesive way to know what's happening and when and where or whatever, I feel like it's a little bit more accessible than some, like that it was towing the line of that a lot of other time travel media, some time travel shows are in books and movies and things are too confusing to follow. And it pulls people out of it. People who are not interested in it, like me, will get very quickly distracted and confused and just not like it as a whole. But I think that this show did really well at making it accessible to people who don't know as much about time mechanics as I do. Like I thought it was accessible in a very neat way. And I liked that.
For sure.
No, I really enjoyed it. You know, I think that, Loki season one, right up there with WandaVision. That was the best of the MCU on Disney Plus so far.
And for sure,
I feel like season two is just gonna take that, you know, that baton and keep running with it. So we have five more episodes to go. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out and how it leads into. I mean, the Marvels movie is the next thing, but I don't think that's the next thing. I don't think it's gonna lead directly to the Marvels, but
no.
Tom Hiddleston's wife, though, is in the Marvels. Did y'all know that?
She is. Yeah, I knew about that.
She's the main villain, so that's that's pretty interesting.
She was also in BBC Sherlock.
Okay.
She was one of the Scotland Yard officers.
Okay.
Yep. So,
yeah, that was kind of cool.
Good stuff. Okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. So, last thing here in the chat from Zach. He says, I liked episode one of Loki better than all of Secret Invasion. And totally Zach. Right. You're not wrong, my friend. We actually did do a review about Secret Invasion. We did, I think, Justin, was it the premiere? And then we did a wrap.
Yeah, we did the premiere and the finale, right.
Yeah, so we were just, we kind of weren't feeling it, which is a little bit of a disappointment because Samuel L. Jackson's arguably one of the best actors out there. And it was just like, it's kind of fell short. So if you do want to check it out, be sure to do so.
Yeah, please do. Check out our archives. We have lots of stuff to
lots of stuff. So, we almost have 200 videos on YouTube now, Justin. So that's crazy.
I think this is actually 201.
Could be. Yeah. Hard to say.
Sure. So go check that out. And speaking of YouTube videos, Amber, you have a YouTube channel. Why don't you plug that right now?
I have a YouTube channel about Harry Potter and wands. I do collect the wands as a hobby, and it's a study of wands and wand lore in the wizarding world. So every episode I pick a character from Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, or anywhere in the wizarding world, and I do a cultural, historical, and symbolic meaning of the wood, the core, and the magical beast that the core comes from, and see how it's basically a character analysis of the wand itself and see how compatible it is with the character. And it's very, very interesting, at least to me. And so I go into historical contexts and mythologies, various cultures all over the world, and I plan to get back into filming soon once I get my backgrounds all set up. But I plan to get back, and I'm at olivambers.wands, and I would like for you guys to join me there. It's going to have a wonderful time.
Go show her some love, y'all. Go subscribe, go like her videos, go follow her on Instagram. She's got great content.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
So we have one more comment in the chat.
Raheem said, I decided to watch Aquaman after watching Secret Invasion.
I'm not sure about the correlation, but I like the Aquaman movie. I'm looking forward to Aquaman 2. I think I might be one of the only people in the world who wants to see Aquaman 2. But
I'm protesting.
I'm looking for, and we're, I mean, someone will be reviewing that with me at some point in December. So
you yourself and you.
All right. I'll find somebody that wants to talk about Aquaman with me, and we'll knock it out. It's the final movie in the DCEU.
Thank God.
So,
my God.
Anyway. So now I'm trying to transition here. So Amber told us where we could find her stuff. Now, Brittany, we're on YouTube right now. We're live on YouTube, but we're also other places. Where can people find us those other places?
Yep. So y'all, this is a day and age of social media. Go find us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter/X, Instagram, and now on Threads. It's still fairly new. Not going to lie. Kind of forgot to promote this podcast on Threads because out of sight, out of mind. Yep. But yeah, go follow us over here on all these social media platforms at Watchers Basement. You can also use that same hashtag Watchers Basement to help grow our audience. Send us memes, send us articles, send us things that you would like for us to review, and we will put that down on the list. And we would appreciate the engagement, of course. So anytime that you want to hit us up, be sure to use that same hashtag Watchers Basement. And if video podcast is not your thing, that's cool. We do have you covered with audio podcasts available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Be sure to go follow us on all those platforms as well and give us a 5-star rating. It does help us out. And the last plug-in for YouTube, y'all, is that we do live streams pretty frequently. We're currently reviewing, you know, the show Loki. We also are doing Gen V, which is from Amazon Prime. It's from the world of the Boys. Go check that out as well. That show is wild. But we also do movies. We have guys here that come in and talk sports. But yeah, we would love to have you follow us here on the Watchers in the Basement YouTube. So hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Helps out our channel a lot. And don't forget to hit that notification button as well. That way, you know, the next time we will be going live.
Yeah. Thank you, Brittany. So for Brittany and for Amber, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.